What's going on, everybody? It's your boy DJ Anonymous with Sports Biz Music, the podcast episode. I think is 111 or 110. I'm not sure, but I got one of my boys on the show today. I got my boy John G. How you doing, man?
I'm great, bro. Thank you for having me. I appreciate you.
No problem, man.
Much love. This is my dog Entity, by the way.
How you doing,
business
man?
Partner and producer.
That's what's up, brother. What's good, man? So y'all actual brothers. Like blood brothers or just
not blood brothers, but that's my brother. Like that's more than anybody could call themselves my brother. That's
I grew up more than what blood was. We grew up to.
That's true.
Basically.
Yeah. That's true. I got a best friend. That's my brother. You know each other for about 20 years.
Like you have a brother, but that brother ain't there for you the whole life.
Right.
But you got a friend that's been there for you the whole life.
Right.
It's like
we got each other.
You my brother.
We got each other.
He's not my brother.
Right. That's what's up, man. So before we get in the podcast, you know, introduce yourself to the people a little bit.
Hard to do. I mean, I'm John G. I'm a hip-hop artist. I want to spread love through the messages and the outlets that I may receive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's more of like a group love thing.
Right.
With my music, I want people to hear it and feel like they're a part of something. So that's what I do, to be honest.
So tell us about like the beginnings, like what made you want to get into music?
Well, I grew up listening to music and hip-hop mostly.
Mm-hmm.
And feeling like going through a lot of shit. I won't get into specifics, but going through a lot of things.
Right.
And then feeling like hip hop or rap was the only thing that I really had to guide me into better directions in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I always wanted to be that for other people.
So who influenced you? Like,
all right, we have a video by J. Cole that influenced us to make music.
Right.
I think it was called Power Trip.
Right, yes, so, yeah. This is a little bit more in the future than what I was talking about.
Right.
But he's talking about like I was making music on my phone on a program called Beatmaker, right? And I started recording myself making beats on an iPhone. And then I came along Gio.
Right.
We'd known each other for years, but then we started hanging out again. And he was like, "Yo, it's just dope." And I was like, "Yo, you wanna work with me? Start working on this program on the iPhone with me if you're down."
Right.
And he was like, "Hell yeah." So then, after a few months of us working on the iPhone, making beats, recording each other on just an iPhone, I was like, "Yo, you gotta check out this video." It was a video of J. Cole producing Power Trip. Showed it to him in the living room of his first apartment after he lived with his parents. We watched that video together, looked each other in the face, and was like, "Yo, it's time to go get a Mac."
Right.
That video inspired me to go to Samaz and buy any type of fucking equipment that needed us for us to succeed.
Yeah. So we went, the funny part about this story is we went and we bought a MIDI controller.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know anything about MIDI controllers, it's not a keyboard.
I got one of the cribs.
That MIDI controller did not do any benefit to our music.
It
obviously
did nothing. You go buy a MIDI controller, you can't do shit with it.
Right.
You gotta have a computer with programs.
But hey, we did it. We did some kind of move.
So we went to Samaz, bought the MIDI controller, looked the guy in the face and said, "How do we make this thing play sounds?" And he was like, "Oh, you can't." We're like, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You need a computer with a program." He looked at us like we were stupid.
Right.
Because, of course, I mean, you got to start somewhere. So that's where him and I started making music together, because that's why he's here right now, too. It's like we started everything together, really. So when I said that what inspired me to start making music was that, you know, that a lot of music inspired me to be the person that I am, so I wanted to be that person for a lot of other people. So that's where I started, and then our paths crossed. And that's really, like, when we started working together is when it really took it into a whole other direction with more force and more direction.
That's what's up. So hip-hop, you know, especially down here, it's still new, you know, like back in the days, you know, late 80s, early 90s, we were just known for like booty shaking music and all that.
Yeah.
Now you have artists like yourself, like Hayes, a few others that's more lyrical.
Yeah.
You know, how do you feel about that? Like being part of that group, this generation of like, hey, we could rap, we could actually rap down here, man.
I never want to sound arrogant or anything. I just feel like I'm part of a group of people that are doing something different. A lot of times I catch myself not being able to relate to a lot of artists that are making music these days. And it's humbling. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, it's also, I don't know what the word is, but mm-hmm. I don't feel like a part of a big group of people.
Yeah.
It's a small group for me.
Yeah, like when I went to the listener party, I noticed with Hayes, I've been knowing him for, I think, like 4 or 5 years now. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very close. Like, it ain't 40 people, 50 people. It's probably like, every time I went to one, it's probably like maybe the most 15, 16.
Right.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But it's like, that's like, when I go to like events like that, normally it's a big thing. You got people on top of people, yes men and everything.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure that y'all, you know, like, hey, you can say this on this track or you can do this on this beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So to talk about TGT, like, how did that get started? Like, how did you...
The relationship with TGT? Mm-hmm. It was straight through Hayes. Because Hayes is a cool-ass dude.
Mm-hmm.
From the beginning, mm-hmm. we met him. We were just out at a bar chilling.
Mm-hmm.
And
Tunas.
It was one of the first people we ever met in the music business. This was years ago.
Yeah.
And, of course, we had been drinking and shit. And Hayes was like, man, don't fuck with me, bro.
Right.
Are you serious about this music shit or not?
Yeah.
And we're like, no, we're fucking serious, bro, of course. Mm-hmm. And ever since we've been working together, it was probably like 2014,
mm-hmm.
2015 that we met him. And it just came off of the reality of, like, we all are serious about all this. Like, it's mm-hmm. not a joke. We're not making bullshit music. We have a message with everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bigger purpose behind the music. And you can hear that with Hayes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why we can relate to each other and we can be brothers. We can call each other friends. More than it's about making music or any of that shit, you know?
Right. So as a rapper, you know, your name is Gio, right? As a producer, like, at that time, how did y'all, I guess, like, communicate with each other about, like, all right, this could be a big move for us. Like, how did that go down?
Between us or between...
Nah, between y'all two, because y'all knew each other before.
Yeah, well, like, yeah. Okay, like we said about the Power Trip video. We watched J. Cole produce Power Trip. He probably reproduced it. It wasn't him, like, actually producing it.
Mm-hmm.
He reproduced it in a video, and it was just, like, really major for us to see somebody turn nothing into something.
Right.
Because I don't know if you've seen the video, but... One of the main parts of that song is the part that goes dun 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 dun, and then like one of his boys walks in and he's like, I never thought that the part that was like dun 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 was gonna be a catchy part, but like our other homie started walking in the fucking building and being like, yo, my favorite part is dun 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 dun, and we looked at each other like, yo, this is ridiculous. Like, we have a true passion for the music and we have a message that goes beyond the music. It's not just about music. It's about like creating a unity, creating a family, and it's all about the love and the fucking vibrations that you can create through that. So seeing like, oh, we're scared to make what we want to make because like, oh, it seems hard, quote unquote. You know, it seems hard, quote unquote, but it's really not that hard. Like, you got the passion, you have the desire for the knowledge, then there's no stopping.
Mm-hmm. And what part of Miami are you from?
Hialeah. Yeah, we were raised in Hialeah.
That's what's up. So, like, you know, Hialeah is, like, one of the biggest cities in Miami.
Yeah.
Like, you know, people, a lot of times don't realize that the cities within cities, towns within towns in Miami. So, you know, how's the culture over there in Hialeah? Like,
as very far diverse. As... Very
like,
diverse.
Like, the reason why I asked that, because I know Hialeah just recently, I think they had like, you know how like Wynwood got their little events and stuff like that? I noticed that Hialeah was started to grow their own thing. So how y'all feel about that?
I was actually recently part of a Hialeah event.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, damn, I can't remember the name of the event.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been called For the Culture.
Mm-hmm.
No, that was Hayes' event.
Yeah, Hayes was For the Culture, yeah.
Damn, I was just part of a Hialeah event,
mm-hmm.
and respect to them. I can't remember the name of the event. Mm-hmm. It was produced by Nomads Worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll shout them out because even though I can't remember the name of it, they deserve the credit.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dope event.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of good people from Hialeah. There really is. There's a lot of shit going on
mm-hmm.
in Hialeah. Like you said, it's like a big ass city. It's one mm-hmm. of the biggest cities in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
It's huge. There's a lot of shit going on.
Right.
But respect to Nomads Worldwide, respect to Don Skywalker, he mm-hmm. put me onto the show.
Mm-hmm.
And all I can say was it was all love. Mm-hmm. It was all love. A lot of great artists went onto a nice stage in a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
It was a great venue, great production. I don't know what else to say about it, but it was wonderful, for sure.
That's what's up. You know, coming from Miami, one of the things that, you know, me as a DJ, you know, I'm pretty sure you as an artist and UGO as a producer, we always had this conversation about why is no unity. So from your perspective, why you think it's no unity, especially in the music industry now?
Unity.
I mean, if I had to put my best guess on it, I would say that a lot of people are afraid to hand any type of knowledge or opportunity that they've received to other people because they're scared that they're going to take the opportunity or knowledge and reap it better than they will. So I would say that, like, people are scared to really give each other the love that they deserve. They don't want to see anybody doing better than they are doing themselves, which is understandable. You know, I'm not, like, trying to shoot anybody down or anything, but I genuinely think that's how it works.
Nah, you right about that, because I feel like I see it every day. I'm like, come on, man. Like, we all from different parts. Miami by itself, Dade County's huge. Then you got Broward, you got Palm Beach. But the difference between Dade, Broward and Palm Beach artists actually work together. You know what I'm saying? From what I heard of. I don't know. I haven't seen
the same thing. That's what I heard. That's what I've seen.
Yeah.
But I really have.
But you see, like, the younger generation, like, the Smoke Perp and the, who was that came out of Miami? It was Smoke Perp.
Like, Triple X.
Triple X. A few of them. I started noticing that group, they were starting, like, you know what? Less, you know, network reshuffling and things of that nature.
A lot of them actually got a house together, if I'm remembering correctly. They had, like, a house together.
Yeah.
And they were making a lot of music. And I think that was including, like, Denzel Curry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and I'm like, why? I said, like, I like, why we can't do that? Like, why we can't just continue to unify the city and just... Because Miami, to be honest with you, not just because I'm from here, but we got the best talent. Whether you're an artist, a DJ, a producer, like, the sound is different. I talk about all the time, like, a lot of people bite off from our sound, from our lingo. The way we talk, like, I see it all the time.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. But that's something that we pretty much gotta, you know, work on. So the only song you got on Spotify in my head is a dope song. Cause
appreciate you, bro.
I tell you the story. So when I was going through Hayes, his albums and everything, I was, you know, for me as a DJ, and if I got a relationship with you, I like to go back and listen to, like, your old stuff and everything. And then I like to branch out and listen to the different artists. And I listen to you, and I like, this shit kind of different. But I don't think we met before, or I haven't really heard of you until I listened to your song. But, like, how was that, you know, what's the story behind that song?
The Demons track? Well, the working title was Demons. That's why I say Demons. It's called In My Head. It started off with, I mean, I have a long relationship with Hayes, just like me and his friend, and just, like, kicking it whenever, just fucking hanging out, and then, like, I'm not sure if Demons, the working title, In My Head, was the first track that we ever worked on together, but I actually made the track by myself with a chorus and a verse, and I sent him the track with the chorus on it, and I was like, hey, man, let me know if you fuck with this.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, yeah, let's do it. So then we had him come to the spot. We recorded it. And, of course, I mean, the reason behind it all for me is that, you know, like, if you hear the verse, it says, got these voices in my head, what I've done, what I've seen, even when I lay to rest, I can't have a normal dream. And it's just like there's constantly different options going through my head. And I call them demons because it's like, you know, when you make the worst decisions, those paths of thought always lie inside of your head. You know, like, whether you're going to make that same bad decision one day again. So that's where it all comes from for me. And he just fit perfectly on the track.
And when you come out with a project, when the project coming out, EP or an album, when that's coming up?
You're asking what else is coming up?
Yeah, well, for you.
I'm working.
Like,
well, I feel you.
Yeah.
Right now I'm working on a lot of singles.
Right.
I want to just drop a bunch of singles for now.
Mm-hmm.
I worked on a couple. I mean, this would be, I was working on my third project to drop, which was called 47 Donuts. And at some point it just kind of started to dissolve. because we just wanted to do too much at once. And, and you know, like, especially trying to drop boom bap style hip hop right now, like, not a lot of people are appreciating that shit.
But, you know, just because they're not appreciating it, you know, you can always push it out, you know, because...
Yeah, well, it gets a little bit redundant because you start dropping it and you're like, whatever, 1,000 plays, like, it's got to make a difference at some point for your career.
Right.
Like, you can sit there and drop music for yourself all you want, but you have to realize what's going on. If you're not playing the game, then you're not going to win.
So you pretty much want to have a track or even a project that have meaning. Like, you want to bring that to the table.
I want meaning to everything, everything that I do.
Right.
I just want to be able to relate to as many people as possible while still giving the messages that I want to give. Like, we have a new track dropping on the 16th. It's called...
Of this month?
Of this month. It's called You Choose. It's all about money.
Right.
Whether you're going to give yourself up for money or not. Most people will. And that's the irony of the track. It's like, maybe I'll one day sell myself. But the point being, the sound of it is new. It's not like 90s hip hop. It's not like rap you hear these days either. It's like, it's got its own individual sound.
Right.
So that's why, I know it sounds like I'm like giving up on my original idea of what I wanted to do, but I'm not really doing that because it still creates the essence of my originality in my head and in my heart. Like, from me, this is from the bottom of my heart. Like, I don't want to ever create a song, let alone drop it, and feel like this isn't truly from my soul.
Right.
You know? That's how I really feel.
And if you could compare yourself to anybody, like, who can you compare yourself to? Nobody?
I would love to say names, but I don't do that because I don't want to, like... I mean, if you really want names out of me, I'll give them to you. But the thing is that, like, I have no right to compare myself to the people who I look up to, you know?
Right. Right. Ain't nothing wrong with that. At one point in time, I compared myself to Drama. But I didn't really talk on the mixtapes. I just did the drops and everything.
Right, right, right.
The work ethic, I was like, I can see myself like him in a way.
Right.
But just, you know, with respect, of course, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
It's more of like, I could say this. I have the aspirations to be compared to J. Cole or Kendrick Lamar. Or even Lil Wayne. In some ways. Those are my aspirations. I've heard other people say you sound like that, especially J. Cole. A lot of people say, like, you sound like J. Cole. That's what I've heard a few times.
You come from that.
I can only wish for that, you know?
But you come, you in that category with the Coles, the Kendricks.
I wish, you know, to be, yes.
The late great Mac Miller, you kind of remind me of him a little bit.
Appreciate you. Yeah, you know, I made a tribute for Mac Miller. I don't know if you ever heard it.
No, I haven't heard it.
I looked up to Mac Miller a lot.
Yeah, man, like. Cause that's why I was going back to the track in my head. So I heard a little bit of Mac Miller, you know what I'm saying? And to speak about Mac Miller a little bit, like, people don't realize that how much he influenced our generation. You know, he part of our generation, but I'm just saying, like, I think he started rapping what, at 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
And then, like, as we all getting older, I'm starting hearing, like, other artists, you know, in our age group or even a little bit younger. They starting to sound like him, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, do you think that, I'm gonna ask, do you think that rap is still appreciated?
I do think so. You know what? I did a show last weekend, opening up for West Side Gun.
I was gonna talk about that too.
Conway came out.
Right.
And, you know, of course, part of me is like, man, I'm losing hope. With all these names that I won't mention, that I just don't have any fucking integrity in thinking about, you know. Conway
35
and West Side Gun came out and did their thing, and they have content, man. They really do.
And they only, like, I think they 35 or something like that.
They're not, regardless of the age. There was a lot of young people at that show.
Yeah, but I'm saying, she, like, a lot of artists, you know, they like to doubt themselves. But I'm like, I mean, look at 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz blew up close to 30.
Yeah.
You know, 31. So it's like, anything's possible.
Yeah, Jay-Z was what, 27?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I hear, I feel you.
Yeah.
I was just going to say that being at that show gave me a spark inside of myself to understand that, like, okay, I can't give up on the idea that nobody wants to hear content in their music.
Right.
Like, there's great content out there that people really do have an appetite for.
Right.
So I might have lost your original question in my head.
Nah, it's cool.
I meant to say that I think people are still hungry for integrity in music. Mm-hmm. I think that they are.
Yeah. Because even, you know, we talk about Griselda, and to me, they like our generation, Wu-Tang.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
And my homeboy, shout out to Carl, he told me about them. I'm like, these boys from Buffalo? Mm-hmm. You think of state of New York, you think about New York City. You know what I'm saying? But they from, like, Buffalo. But the thing is, like, to me, honestly, they vibe. I can vibe with them because they East Coast, but they, you know, certain stuff they say I can relate coming from the South. You know what I'm saying?
It's the sound, too, though.
Yeah.
It's the sound.
It's just, it's
do you like the sound? You like the sound? Yeah, I like the sound alone. Yeah. I show that shit to people, and they're like, oh, the sound alone. I don't even have to hear what he's saying. Like, the sound alone.
Right.
Is they can just vibe with it.
Right.
I was watching a whole room of people, let alone, like, 70% of them looking like they're 18, 19 years old, mm-hmm. and vibing to some shit that didn't even have any drums on it.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's crazy. People are waiting for the bass to hit all the time.
But artists like that and like yourself and Hayes, other artists I listen to, they got substance. Like, for me, growing up, I always listen to the beat.
Yeah.
I listen to the beat over the lyrics, but now I'm trying to try my heart to listen to the lyric. Because it's like, it's so much substance. It's stuff that I can relate to.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Or if I can't relate to it, somebody else that's by me could relate to it. Yeah. And I can tell them, hey, listen to this track. It's a message in it for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
People don't realize that music gives, like, everyone a spiritual at the end of the day. So
yeah.
How you feel when you write down or just said off the tongue, when you spit out the dome of your head, like, it's spiritual. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, for sure. It's about the feeling, for sure. I mean, I got crystals and sacred geometry tattooed on my arms for a reason. It's all about the way that you're going to make each other feel.
Yeah. So,
language is our second language.
Yeah, so who's in your top five?
I get asked that a lot, and I never really know the answer.
I know, but it changes a lot.
I always put Kendrick as the greatest rapper of all time.
You know what? As a J. Cole fan, a hard-nosed J. Cole fan, I had to, when the decade ended and they were doing the top five and all that, I was like, you know what? I went back, I listened to Section 80, classic.
100.
Good Kid, Mad City, that ain't.
No question.
Pimp a Butterfly, I had to listen to it twice.
Let me stop you for 1 second.
Mm-hmm.
So Pimp a Butterfly is the greatest hip-hop album of all time. Please continue.
Right. And then, of course, Down. For me, Down, like, for me, 5 years from now, 5-6 years from now, could be another classic. This is my opinion.
Right. I mean, I love Down.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
But why you think Pimp a Butterfly is the greatest album of all time? Like, you got Miss Education out there. You got, what else?
I think that the reason I say this is because it's mass appeal.
Right.
Amongst other things, like, of course, Miseducation, or, like, what else would you consider? I don't know, a lot of Tupac albums.
Tupac, I'll say Blueprint is up there.
I would, but I wouldn't. One. I just don't.
The first one.
There's a lot of redundancy in that album.
Blueprint?
Yeah, man. I just find it, like, it's going off a lot of the same concepts.
Right.
Which is okay. That's okay, especially for its time. It's very innovative for its time.
Mm-hmm.
Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Respect. Jay-Z deserves as much respect as he gets.
Right.
Because he's fucking dope, for sure. But I just want to say that To Pimp a Butterfly, all the way through, is a story from beginning to end. Every song has its reason for being there. There's no fillers in it.
So that's better than Doggy. For me, Doggy Style is like the most, like, complete album.
Whoa.
For me.
No shit. I've never heard that in my life. So, no, cool. I mean, I spent years listening to Doggy Style over and over and over.
Because Pimp the Butterfly, I agree with you because, like I said, I had to go back and listen. But damn, you got Doggy Style, you got Get Rich Die Trying.
I mean, like, other than that, like, I love It Was Written.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are like, oh, it was written. That's not Nas's best album. You know what I mean?
Right.
They think I'm tripping. I'm a huge Nas fan, too.
Right.
Like, if I'm not giving it to Kendrick, I'm giving it to Nas.
Right.
That's how I feel. But I just think that it was so beautiful. Like, the fucking poem that was given piece by piece throughout the fucking album.
Right.
And at the end of it, he spit the whole poem.
Right.
And then he was, like, talking to Pac.
Right. That's crazy.
That was... For me, that was crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I even know the poem by heart. Like, I can recite the shit. Like, the whole fucking album, to me, is a masterpiece put together piece by piece by piece by piece. And if you listen to it all the way through, you can't help but be like, holy shit.
I'm about to listen to it.
I don't know anybody else that has really done that. Like, he couldn't have more... I don't know how to put the words together, but like, he couldn't have portrayed a piece of work as like a visual representation better than by saying that poem throughout each song and adding just a little bit each time and then saying the end of it after, which is one of my favorite hip hop songs of all time, which is Mortal Man. The words to that song for me, gorgeous. Saying the whole poem after Mortal Man and then realizing that he was talking to Pac the whole time.
That's crazy.
Shit blew my mind. And let me tell you one last thing. The first time I heard To Pimp a Butterfly, I was like, I don't like this. I have to say that.
I was just like, I can't. It's some, like, I can't. It was like how people felt about, what was the last J. Cole album? The one before the
KOD? Or For Your Eyes?
For Your Eyes.
Yeah.
To me, I liked it because at the time, me and my wife were fiancé at the time. We just moved in.
Okay.
Now, like, every song you're talking about, like, folding up clothes and shit, I'm like, I can relate to that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I went back to it, like, I love it. You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I'm married now. Like, I can just play this shit in my house and it's cool. A lot of people said the same thing. Pimp the Butterfly, like, I give this shit like a 6 out of 10. But then when I went back to it, it's amazing.
Like, when people tell me they don't like the album, I'm like, just go listen to Mortal Man. And if you don't like it after listening to that, respect. But if you hear that and you don't like it, then fuck you.
Right.
That's how I feel. Like, when shit hit the fan, is you still a fan? Once you look to your left and right, make sure you ask your friends. That shit is crazy, bro. That's a life lesson in one song. Like, anybody could apply that to their life.
Yeah, like I said earlier, like, artists, you know... I don't want to say rappers no more. I just say artists because, you know, y'all, like I said, y'all spiritual.
I say artists because there's rappers that are not rappers, so I call them artists.
Yeah, so
they're not. They don't rap.
But even the ones who are, you know, the lyrical ones, I'm like, to me, y'all artists, but in a respectful way.
No, I appreciate that.
You know what I'm saying? Not because like, oh, you do this for the club and shit. You pop, like, no. It's an artist. Artist is like Drake. Drake can do everything, but it's artists like Jay-Z's, the Nas, the Kendrick's, the Cole's, the Big Crits, the Rhapsody's. Rhapsody to me.
Fuck with Big Crit too, and Big Rhapsody.
Man. And that's what I was talking about. Like, they too, they come from the South as well. And like, you know the history. Everybody thought we couldn't rap. Look at Three Stacks. He opened up the doors for
them. Three Stacks is one of the best rappers of all time.
Right. You know what I'm saying?
Of all time.
So it's just...
He's up there. Top 5, I gotta consider him for sure.
Yeah, because you know what? Someone said it best. I think it was Joe Budden. And I didn't even realize it. Because that album came out when I was in the 4th grade. But The Love and Below.
That's one of my favorite albums.
It wouldn't be no 808s and Heartbreak. It wouldn't be none of this shit.
The first album I ever owned was Speaker Box Love Below.
Yeah, me too.
That's crazy. That's what's up.
It was that album. It was Ludacris, Word of Mouth. It was Get Rich or Die Tryin', the first Blueprint, and I forgot one of the Fabulous albums. I think it was like My Way.
I was never a big Fabulous fan.
T.I. Trap Music. Fabulous, I think it was just given to me, but high school, college, Fabulous started to grow on me, especially with the mixtapes, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, but, I mean... You know, but
I know you take what you were given. Like, I'm a Lil Wayne fan because my cousin brought me up on that shit. I mean, Lil Wayne's a G, he's a legend forever.
Right.
I grew up listening to like The Empire.
Yeah.
If you don't hear their drops, you know what I mean?
The drought is over.
Yeah. The drought is over.
Yeah. So you got in your top 5, you got Kendrick, Nas,
Andre, Kanye is contingent on whether we're talking about appeal. And I mean, I got Kanye in that conversation. I really do.
You know what?
I really do.
I had a conversation with my wife and a few others. I said, some people say you can't separate the person from the music, but I'm like, in some cases, you got to. Graduation is my favorite album. Graduation got me through high school and college.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I can't be mad at that. I can't.
Some people may say, like, of course, what's the first album called?
College
Dropout. Late Registration.
Late Registration is the second album I ever owned.
Yeah, that one too. I think I had the, I ain't had the album, but I had downloaded the School and Chalk one. The School and Chalk version.
Really? Okay.
You know when School and Chalk was
popular.
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
Especially downhill. But Graduation, like, I mean, when that shit came out, 10th grade year, that album to me is maybe...
I could just sit here and jam out with you listening to that shit.
Yeah, for me, it's top 10 all the time.
Top 10 albums all time?
Yeah, for me.
I know, I hear you. Yeah. I hear you. I mean, there's a lot of songs I would say yes. Like, Homecoming.
Yeah.
I think there's too much pop on that album for me, personally, to say, like, oh, it's one of the greatest hip-hop albums. Mm. Although, Kanye deserves to be up there in that conversation, no matter which album you're talking about. For me, Kanye's best album is My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
You know what? I was so late and I was so mad because that shit came out my senior year. And I listened to it maybe last year or the year before.
Really?
Yeah.
Last year or the year before? Because
I ain't, you know how like...
I'm fucking mad for you, bro. I'm fucking mad
like,
for
you. Because I knew, of course, the singles that came out of that.
Yeah.
Like Monster and all that, yeah.
Monster.
But I'm like, I ain't want to listen to that shit. Like, it got all like the album cover to me at the time, I ain't appreciated.
Yeah.
But then when I heard the album cover plus when I heard the album, I'm like, yeah. That album was to me the best album for the last decade. 2010.
I just think it's Kanye's best work.
Yeah. Like that and Pimp the Butterfly is.
Oh, those two.
Yeah. And Forest Hill Drive.
I love Forest Hill Drive. It's a hard conversation to have, it really is. But I definitely like if I was gonna compare those three, I got To Pimp a Butterfly and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy over Forest Hills Drive.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong, I fucking love Forest Hills Drive. It's a great album. But I just think all the different elements that went into both of those albums, I think I would have to give it to Kanye as best album, but best hip-hop album, I'm giving it to Pimp a Butterfly. Yeah. Best album is going to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy. Mm. Like, if you're having that conversation. I'm talking about hip-hop, rap, category is going to Pimp a Butterfly for me.
Cause My Dark Twisted Fantasy is like a movie. Like it's like
a lot of elements to it.
Each track is like it's, I don't know. To me, it's like it's a new chapter or something.
Yeah,
like that,
yeah. Which I would feel that way about Pimp a Butterfly as well. I would say that too. Mm-hmm. I just don't think there's like R&B and jazz elements in that, but there's like more pop or more.
Like classical music and
classical. You could say there's a lot of classical involved in My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
Right.
Both gorgeous albums. It's hard to have that conversation for me, anyway.
And so you said Kanye's your fourth, who's your last one? The fifth one.
My last one. Shit, it's hard for me to try to not give it to an artist that is new.
Mm-hmm.
I want to give it to Eminem. Because he kind of deserves it as far as rappers go.
Mm-hmm.
He just fell off really hard in my face, in my opinion.
The last album was I liked it.
I didn't like it. I only liked a couple tracks.
Like, there was some songs, like, in the middle. I forgot the name of the songs, but it was in the middle. I like Eminem. You didn't have to put that on the... Could have from the beginning, the intro was hard.
Yeah.
It started, you know what I'm saying?
But, what I tell everyone is... He needs to stop fucking yelling at the mic. He needs to start talking to the mic again.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when people will want to listen.
Don't you feel like that with Wayne, though? Because I heard Wayne album.
I don't listen to Wayne shit anymore at all.
Yeah, like
don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
The best Wayne album is Carter 2.
We had this conversation. I'm not going to lie. The first one I liked. Carter 2 is up there now. Don't get me wrong. Because Carter 2, but Carter 1 is like my personal
favorite. I think that I don't like the Carter 1 as much because of his voice. He didn't find his sound in that album for me.
Right. Carter 2 broke him up.
Right. Yeah. I think that he really found his sound in Carter 2.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't commercial, but it was still him.
Yeah.
That's when he went to Carter 3 and it was commercial.
Carter 3 was commercial.
Commercial. Yeah. Which I still like Carter 3. I even like parts of the Carter 4.
Yeah, it was like T.I. album, I think it was King. That album was too commercial for me.
I haven't heard that album, to be honest with you.
It was good, though. Like,
I was never a big T.I. fan.
Why
never.
Not?
Only a few tracks here and there. He sounds the same to me all the time. All the fucking time. He has no diversity to him for me.
I feel you, yeah.
That's how I feel. I mean, that's just my opinion. I know.
That's the beauty of music. Everybody got their own opinion and stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I never want to sound like I know it all. To someone, it's going to come off sounding ignorant, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, sure, I lack knowledge in a lot of subjects or a lot of artists' discographies.
Mm-hmm.
So I always try to make it contingent on what I think I know, you know?
So when I have my round table, I have to have you there. Nah, for real, because I've been trying
be
to get a round table for a while, but I don't want nobody to have the emotions attached.
Yeah.
Like, you can, but you can't. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, I can't be mad if, like, all right, I want Ludacris on top, but then someone say Busta Rhymes. You know what I'm saying? Or
yeah.
I want T up there, but someone say Lupe. To me, Lupe is so unappreciated.
He really is, for sure, for sure.
Like,
I could agree with that 100%.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not speaking from the point of view of like, the biggest Lupe fan.
Mm-hmm.
Man's a legend, for sure.
I have a theory, though, about why he fell off.
Why?
I think he did that on purpose because I feel like... I think, was he signed with Atlantic at the time?
Atlantic when?
I think... Was the first three albums he was signed with them? Or that was the one with Lasers?
I can't say for sure. I loved Lasers, though.
Mm.
I did love Lasers. But I can't say that I know for sure.
I think when Lasers, I think around that time, I felt like he felt like he wasn't in his element. He was trying to be commercial. You know, Lupe came out of nowhere. Like, Lupe, to me, he was like how Big Crit is. Big Crit, people know him.
I think Big Crit had his cult following, though.
Yeah, like Lupe. Lupe had a cult following.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I love Big Crit, too, man. I do.
He's very unappreciated.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, more unappreciated than Lupe.
Yeah.
For sure.
And why you think that?
I just don't... Anybody I talk to never... Like, almost never knows who the fuck Big Crit is. And I have no idea why. He's a fucking legend.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody knows it. It's annoying. Most people know who the fuck Lupe is, at least when I speak to them.
Mm-hmm.
They know Lupe because of Superstar or Lasers or fucking what's the show goes on.
Yeah.
Like, it's easy to know those songs, but let me talk to you about Big Crit, The Vent.
Yeah.
Which is, to me, like, one of Big Crit's best songs. Like, nobody knows what the fuck that is, especially because it's not a jam.
Yeah.
It's some shit you listen to and you're just like, oh, wow, this is just an excellent song. Like, you can't even show your friends this shit.
Yeah, so cause,
like, nobody wants to hear that shit. Like, for no good reason.
Yeah.
You know, most people just don't want to listen.
Right.
You know, that's the shit they don't want to listen to. They're not ready for that conversation. You know.
Yeah. I'm gonna invite you to the round table, man. So where do you see yourself 5 to 10 years from now?
I don't know. I never try to look too far into what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to, like I said before, I just want to be the people. I want to be the sound that people need when they feel like they're not ready to hear anything, or like they don't want to hear anything, or they feel like there's no role models in their immediate life.
Right.
I want them to be able to press play on my music and be like, okay, I don't feel so alone, because that's mm-hmm. what music was for me when I was a kid, or
mm-hmm.
or however old I was. Like, I still find songs these days that make me feel like I'm not alone, even when mm-hmm. you know, because you have those days. I don't know about everybody else. I have those days where I feel
like
I got
alone. Them days, like me and my wife talk about all the time. Like, people understand that you could be married, you could be in a relationship, and you have business partners, but you still got your own life. You know what I'm saying? So you still got to be like, damn, bro, like, it's time for you to reflect. You reflect, like, damn, what I'm doing wrong.
Yeah.
I need to balance something out. You know what I'm saying? So it's, you know, I tell people all the time, like, ain't nothing wrong with opening up to yourself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, talking to yourself, like, all right, I did this wrong. Let me how I fix it. You know what I'm saying? Like, with me right now, I'm better than trying to figure out how I can be consistent, you know, going to the gym. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm 28. Sure. When I was 18 years old, I just go to the gym every day.
Right.
Lose weight was nothing to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So yeah.
Right now, like, I'm going through that. I'm like, damn, all right, I'm about trying to do this with my business, with the podcast. I'm about to have a baby.
Yeah,
I'm going to school. Like, I'm trying to figure out how can I, you know what I'm saying, instead of trying to feel bad about myself. You know what I'm saying?
I think we're all looking for that consistency, right, 100%.
Yeah. Yeah.
Having that baby is a blessing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
I have a 5-year-old daughter.
That's what's up, man.
She's a wonderful person, too.
Not gonna lie.
She's awesome.
It's gonna get in the way of what you gotta do.
Right.
But you gotta compromise.
Right.
Create through that child, you create a better existence.
Right.
Hopefully, through a wonderful human being a part of this life with everyone else. That's my perspective. I don't have my own child.
Right.
But that's the way that I see it.
I have my own child, but he's my brother, so it's like your child.
Yeah.
So I have a great time whenever I see her, for sure. So.
You better recognize that's your brother.
And you said y'all business partners, so that's our business?
No. This is a separate thing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Redacted.
My business is John T. Hip Hop.
Okay.
That's yeah, our that's business. Our shit. Okay. We have Hitlist Records is our record company.
Okay, so and,
this is our regular job.
Redacted.
Has nothing to do with
okay,
us.
Okay, so yeah, that's something that yeah.
How about this?
yeah. But what's it called? Hitlist Records.
Hitlist Records.
So what like the name and like what why Hitlist Records?
We are the founders.
No, I'm saying, but like, why, like the name, like why?
We
are
every song is a hit.
Right.
A list. It's a list of hit records. That's what. Yeah, we were just like, we spent months trying to figure it out. What are we gonna do? What's the name? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm.
And the same thing with his name, Entity.
Mm-hmm.
That's his producer name, and we just spent a lot of time bouncing ideas back and forth. And eventually we came up with Hitlist Records because it was just like a list of hit records.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what we want to do is a list of hit records.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, you know that we want to have a lot of meaning behind it, but we want them to be hits too, of course, because for what reason are we doing this other than to reach as many people as we can?
Right. So, yeah. As you grow, are y'all willing to have like other artists?
Yeah.
As y'all
yeah.
grow?
Oh, yeah. We for have sure. other
we have other artists.
Oh, y'all do?
Yeah.
Y'all gotta give me names.
We have artists that wanna join us.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're
but
we want people to work, of course.
But we don't want people to work if they don't wanna work.
Yeah, there ain't nothing wrong.
We
with
need
that.
To see
you're
that
working or you're not.
In order for us to put you in our city.
Work. Yeah. I remember Chris Brown not too long ago, he was like he got like his record label, I forgot the name of it, but the artists go through like a 2-year probation period.
Yeah.
So they go through that period, and then after that 2-year period, then they officially get signed to his label. Like, I like that. Like, I feel like people are always in the rush to try to sign, but it's like they don't understand that even when you sign, you still gotta do the same routine.
Yeah.
You gotta
go
even harder.
Yeah. You gotta make all the moves.
You know, because why y'all. As I grow, cause I see y'all growing, you know, you're doing festivals and everything. A lot of artists gonna be trying to hit you up to make beats for them on the side, besides your own artists. Yeah, like,
yeah,
you need y'all artists to.
We experience that as we speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. So.
But either you pay me to do a beat, or I'm gonna just stick with my boy.
Yeah. You gotta bring what you bring into the table, or. Don't talk.
So TGT is more of a partnership, or you sign them, or
TGT's kind of just our friends.
That's
just collab.
They're family.
Okay,
yeah. I want to call it family because everybody there, we completely fuck with and support 100%.
Yeah,
it's family for
sure.
But
like we said, like I said earlier, like we spoke about unity down here in Miami. Like we need that.
Yeah.
You know? Oh yeah.
No, those are people that we are unified with. We fuck with them. We support them. Like I just said, they're all good people. A's, like I told you, it started off as a friendship more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
And those are the type of people like, hey, let's support each other mutually. And it might not be money right now, but maybe later on down the line. Mm-hmm. Or maybe I can support you with a platform that I have. Or maybe
that's how you hustle.
Right.
Or you can support me with a platform that you have.
Right.
And we're always going to treat it that way. And
it's called networking.
Even if we just come along and we try to make something work and we end up just shooting the shit. Because we're just that cool with each other, then fine. At least we showed each other love, Mm-hmm. And we furthered our existence through happiness. Mm-hmm. Because
we did what we had to do and make shit happen.
What are we here for other than to be happy? You know what I mean? It's not all money. It's not all success. That's for sure. It comes with the highs and the lows. So if we can be happy through the lows with each other, then that's it for me. That's all I need.
Well, listening for him was gangster.
It was. It was dope as fuck. He was there.
Yeah,
he was there.
Yeah, he was there. I was on the couch. I was vibing. I'm like that, dude. I like the vibe. I like the vibe. I observe.
You see me on the sofa.
Yeah.
His girl, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that
you
was
both
you.
There. Yeah, yeah.
No
yeah.
fucking way. No fucking way.
I think you guys were sitting next to each other. Yeah, am I tripping? Way. I think you guys were sitting right next to each other. Am I fucking tripping?
I don't remember. I'm banged up. I was drinking a lot of Hennessy.
Yeah, yeah. I had came in around like 10:30. It was raining and shit, and I was coming from around here. I stayed around here, so
I was sitting in the sofa all the way in the back with a girl and her boyfriend. And then there was a girl, it was two girls and two niggas. So it was me and a guy and then two bitches all the way in the back. So I don't know if you saw me.
Yeah, I seen everybody. I observed, you know what I'm saying? So
damn, I don't observe too much.
But y'all got any shout outs, you know, before we close it up?
Yeah, shout out.
I don't know. Shout out Entity. Shout out John G. Shout out DJ Anonymous. Appreciate we all here it, sitting it, at this fucking table. Shout out TGT. Shout out Marklin Hayes. Shit, I'm probably drawing a blank at the moment. To be honest with you.
Shout out.
We did shout out his name.
Say it again.
Shout out DJ Anonymous.
I appreciate it, man.
Let's say shout out to Chris Dean Music for producing the whole Flows, Flaws, Ambitions project.
Shit, shout out to Jeff Stone. I'm going to have him tomorrow, too.
Shout out Jeff Stones, who's a dope fucking artist, for sure. Yeah. I fuck with him. Every time I link with him, he's dope. I love talking to him.
Yo, like I tell everybody, y'all boys don't forget about me. Well, we family, so we all connected.
You know how I ain't going to forget?
You gotta clean your lens, bro.
Bro, we
looking cloudy over here.
Yeah, man. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Appreciate you having me, man.
John G. You much know what I'm saying? You. Appreciate you.
Yeah,
Entity. You know what I'm saying? Appreciate you coming on the show. We gotta have our own, you know, interview. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, yeah, man. So, this has been your boy, DJ Anonymous, Sports Biz Music, the podcast. And we out.